good. Okay, so please.
We continue with the article, The Peace. We are starting from the paragraph, such is that you will also find. Such is that you will also find in Bereshit Rabba, chapter 8, regarding the creation of men. The angels asked the Creator, what is man, that are you mindful of him, and the son of man, that you visit him? Why do you need this trouble? The Creator told them, so why were Tzana and Alafim created? What is it like? There is an allegory about a king who had a tower filled abundantly, but no guests. What pleasure does a king have in his full tower? They promptly said to him, Lord of the world, Lord of our master, how great is your name in all the land, do that which pleases you. Interpretation: the angels that saw all the pain and agony that was to befall humanity wondered, why do you need all this trouble? The Creator replied to them that indeed he had a tower filled abundantly, but only this humanity was invited to it. And of course the angels weighed the pleasures in that tower, awaiting its guests, against the agony and trouble that awaited humanity. And once they saw that it was worthwhile for humanity to suffer for the good that awaited us, they agreed to man's creation. Just as Rabbi Akiva said, the judgment is true and all is ready for the feast. From the beginning of creation, all people have reservations. And the thought of the Creator necessitates them to come to the feast, knowingly or unknowingly.
Shilot.
Questions?
Leo.
What can we do with this allegory? It's terrible what is this describing. To suffer, the angels themselves come to the Creator and says, what's the point with so much suffering? And they said, the point is that at the end a lot of good will be revealed. But along the way it's horrific.
Why?
Because nobody knows what will be in the end. Nobody feels it. There's no... It just says suffer a lot, a great deal. Humankind's history is just one big suffering, if you look at it realistically. And at the end, something good will appear. That's what's written here.
We see it in every given moment. I remember that when I was 19, we were taken to the operation room, then to the delivery room. It was when I was in the university. The profession was medical devices. Oh, more than devices, but so different such things. So for us, for the men, we were really in shock. I saw that women, young ladies, they bared it, they looked at it differently. But we, you know, the heroes, you know, men at this age, young fellows, we couldn't stand it. Birth, operations, they cut off fingers from the leg. I remember it was the way it looked. Such operations. Serious suffering? Tell some woman that better not have children because he'll suffer. Will she agree? Meaning there's a plan, the plan of creation, and it's being realized, and we're all a part of it. Can we now judge the Creator who did things one way and not another? By what mind? It's just now, like you talked now about the tens or the different accusations that you have toward each other. By what mind can you... I understand anyone who sees flaws in others, it's because of his own flaws. All true. But from the point of view of overcoming, going above reason, from the point of view of the generality of society, that you at least understand that you don't know and don't understand, at least open your eyes somewhat more, open your mind a bit more. Sure, we have no justification for creation. The world's full of suffering. The biggest evildoer is the Creator. Who does everything? He does. All the evil. Is there anything good in the world? No. Sure. But only if you wish to ascend to His degree. And then will you understand and feel that it's all the very opposite to how it is now. So you can also say about that, oh, then I'll understand and I'll feel that it's worthwhile. And not, no, not worthwhile. You'll see no suffering at all. At all. And whatever seems to you as suffering right now, that everyone's suffering, you'll see that no one's suffering. Where does it say that the body suffers and not the soul?
Huh?
Shamati 19. Okay, please. Look it up. I know that that's how it is, but where? That this is what man was intended or created for, something like that. You can look up that was created for that.
Yes?
Anything?
No. No, Tishan Vintem.
Ask in the meantime.
Rav, what does it mean knowingly and unknowingly?
Who are you talking about?
The thoughts of the Creator obligate them to come to the meal knowingly or unknowingly.
Meaning consciously or unconsciously. Like the rest of the world, how do they act? Unconsciously. But different instincts, meaning the forces of nature, force them to behave this way, and so they do. They don't scrutinize, they don't criticize. Look, what do we have to do? By having to overcome our desire, our thoughts, meaning our heart and mind, by that we have to build ourselves. Not that the forces of nature, namely the Creator, will activate, will operate us unknowingly, instinctively, either through our desire or not even through the desire, that we really do it instinctively, not by our own free will. But we ourselves, we should and have to program ourselves and plan ourselves and to behave this way on each and every step according to whatever we choose. We have to be instead of the Creator, take upon ourselves His entire role. And then, as a result, we'll get to know Him and we'll connect.
But that's the possibility or opportunity on our part. He already established the final state. He allows you to get there consciously or unconsciously.
Imagine if the final state would have not been determined, then how can you imagine or envision, depict creation, that something exists altogether? That something exists. What can exist if It has no place or rules in its reality.
So why do we need the mind here? Only with the help of the mind I can understand that something was created.
This in the meantime, but later you have to ascend to a new mind.
By annulling my own mind.
Of course.
That he gave me and he gave me control over it.
He had to do it in order for you to have what to start out with. Therefore, the still, the vegetative, and the animate exist instinctively, and so do you, and you were given opportunity to rise to a higher degree. And then, when you ascend to a higher degree, you see that the world, that this world, is a world that does not exist, that it existed only in your imagination, and therefore, it said here that the entire world's suffering, the world's full of suffering. It is a movie that you're watching, and only.
So what's implied is that he gave me a mind so I can annul it and then to see everything is perfect.
Suppose. Did you find it?
I think that's it.
Read, I'll tell you.
It's letter 8. And I'll tell you the truth. When I see all those empty ones that spend their days emptily, I don't feel bad because nothing spiritual happens to them. And it's only a body of flesh and bones is tormented, and it was created for that. And the end of every animal is without any mind because all are like animals.
Without a spiritual mind, meaning, right? Yuda, what are you laughing about? It's funny, so you're laughing.
It's not clear how you go about your day if your mind is constantly incorrect. You're not correct. Based on what do you...
I don't cancel everything, but only that part that I can elevate above reason, but not the rest of the things. How's that possible? I'm alive. I am. I have to work. Yes. Earn a living. Yes. Wife, kids, family, this, that. You have to have all that. No dispute. But along with it, there is a tiny part where there I can rise above myself to the next degree. And from there, to see the true reality. That's it.
Okay, everything that belongs to corporeal life in this world, you make a decision based on your reason. I'm asking.
Corporeal?
Yeah, everything that belongs to corporeal life, you take decision based on your mind.
Of course, otherwise how?
Yeah, there's no above reason there. There, everything is within reason.
But also, what I have there within reason, I've determined it according to my spiritual goal.
Yeah, that's my guiding principle. According to the spiritual goal, I determine everything within reason.
That's what I'm left with. Were you now to talk to someone who passed away from this world, what would he tell you? Imagine your conversation. Uri, what are you looking at laughing?
Okay, so with respect to everything that has to do with spirituality, there your reason is wrong and you have to constantly go above reason. Meaning there's no, you don't have a feeling and an intellect to understand anything about spirituality.
No, there can be.
So how do you develop? Based on what can you develop if you're constantly making mistakes? You're not right.
Why am I wrong all the time?
Because you don't have the feeling, you don't have the intellect to understand.
I try to be above reason and I see that I can't. And I try again and I see that I can't. We talked about it in the morning. And this is called the revelation of being in the Egyptian exile.
Okay.
That the more I try to go above reason through the connection, and the children of Israel cried from the work, I see that I can't until I cry and I get help.
So where are they leading you in the exile? Some state of helplessness?
Helplessness.
This is the purpose of the exile? Helplessness?
Yes, that I'm under Pharaoh's control, under the control of my ego.
But helplessness of what?
Helplessness that I can't get rid of it if I wanna. I see how much it holds me, controls me, and I can't do anything about it. It says, I'll make it so that you'll do this and that now, and then you'll do this and this. I'll force you to work 20 hours a day and make money and go to restaurants and do stuff and this and that and burn your life on meetings, on business, on stuff. You think that it's incorrect, but I'll force you to do it anyway. Or with smaller things, different tiny businesses. Or instead of going to the lesson, I'll lay on the couch, watch soccer, there's a good movie on, something like that. And before that, I committed to coming to the lesson, Yeshivat Chavirim, there's something that I have to do. I have to connect to the group. And afterwards, it doesn't work. And Pharaoh, he does that. He says, look, you need to do these things, so and so. He does it from both sides. It's help made against him. And afterwards, he trips you and you fall. And suppose you stay at home. And you don't go to the lesson, you don't go to the Yeshivat Chavarim or something. It's not that bad, I'll come next week, this, that, and so on. And you can't overcome. These things, food, sex, family, you name it. Everyone with whatever suits them. But he has to show you that you can't come out from his circle. In this circle, he'll let you run around however you want, but you can't leave the circle.
That's very tangible. Question is, what do you do? What can be done?
I talked about it in the morning too, because I see that this is what's ahead, and we have to start become acquainted with it.
But bottom line, what are we doing?
What do you think we can do?
The state is clear. I don't know.
What do you think we can do? What's left to do after, suppose, you tried everything you could?
I don't know. We have to come to a prayer in the end. It's clear.
Oh, how, suppose, what? Suppose you can't come to the lesson. Let's take a good example, not something else. So you tell your wife, please, help me get up. Really throw me out of bed. Tell me that I'm no good. And this is what she tells you. And you, in return, what do? You shout at her. What do you care? This is my bed. I'm sleeping here. That's that. Live with it. Like a kid. You're all wound up.
So what do you do? What do you do with this voice?
The next day, you can no longer ask her to do that. So what do? So you ask friends, then something else, and something else, until... And the children of Israel cried from the work.
So the process is to break you?
Sure. Sure. To break.
So where's the evolution? Where's the free choice?
No, this is the development. The development is in you attaining the extent to which your will to receive is complicated, is, how to say, sophisticated, cunning, complex, that it is in control, that this is the whole of nature, and how everything revives around that, that you stay, and he shows you. It's not for the ordinary people on the street. He shows you that you're gonna do what he wants you to. Promise yourself that you get up and you go, and you see that you won't be able to. I remember the very first time when I stumbled upon that. It was a meal, I think. I think I was already studying for 2 years, a year and a half, something like that. And it was already late, I think 11 p.m., and the lesson starts at 3. So I tell him, I'm going to Rehovot now, and I'll come back. First, Rabash looked at me with a smile. I didn't get it then. I went home. I couldn't get up. Couldn't. I came to him later. I told him, what happened? I couldn't. That I don't get up to the lesson. This is something you can ask anyone. All those people that were there all these years, no such thing. I came before everyone, I put my tape recorder, my notebook, I prepare a cup of coffee for him, for me, the others come, the lesson begins, that's it. And he laughed, he said, I knew it, that you're not gonna come, that you're not gonna make it. You have to reach a state where the will to receive starts toying with you in a way that you feel, I give my word and I can't keep it. Such a weakness that I simply can't. I'm saying, this is what I say, and the next moment, that's it, I go back on my word, and again, and I'm in between, and yeah.
When I identify such states, if you ask for yourself, well, no, to succeed in overcoming it, is that okay? Is this a good kind of prayer?
Sure it is.
But it's about you. It's asking for yourself.
Okay, that it's for yourself, but you're asking to come out from under his control, but where? Into the connection with the friends. Into connection. This is the main thing.
So there's nothing to do against it. Because even if you decide for yourself certain schedule, I see that ultimately he's spinning you on his finger, little finger.
Continue. Sorry.
I'm saying, even if you set a schedule, ultimately he is spinning you on his little finger.
He knows where to twist and spin you. He is the Creator's trustworthy servant. What do you mean? He does all the work? The Creator is controlling him. Who's the evil inclination? I've created the evil inclination, that's it. And each and every moment, I've created the evil inclination. It's the Creator's creation. The Creator is in it, controlling you by it, as if against itself. And that's how you have to relate to it. Really, that it's an angel of the Creator.
So if I identify such places, I can ask to be above them, but it has to be that the result will be connection with it.
This is the war. Where does it say about it? That this is the war. And the truth is that... Okay, go ahead. Continue. I don't want to run from this. I don't want to continue. I want for you to understand this point and stand on it. This is called, and the people of Israel cried from the work. It's very important that you commit to come to the group, commit to do different things. It's especially regarding the group dissemination, regarding what's going on inside the group. Because outside of the group, you have no spiritual actions. You don't, only in the group. That you want to be in it.
I see it very clearly with respect to the Zohar lesson in the evening, how it's manipulating me.
No.
But all the attempts, I see that you constantly remain shackled.
Good. What do you do then?
I don't know. So the prayer is not coming out.
No, no. It's forbidden for you to agree with that. Then you become Pharaoh's worker. Not even his slave, but a servant. You work for him. That's it.
How to disagree?
This is a degree of klipa, of tuma, of impurity, because you had an opportunity and you inverted it into the very opposite.
So how to prepare myself in such a way that next time it will be, I don't know, not to fall?
Anything that you can do, you have to do. Everything. And next time, you'll fall for sure, but under different conditions. And this way, you'll accumulate more and more forces, conditions, discernments, until you'll reach a cry.
How do we build in such a way loyalty to the group if you're constantly, closes you in?
How can you be unloyal to the group if this is your soul?
This I understand, but I see he's stronger, he's more powerful.
This way you fight, this way you're demanded, this way you become needy of the Creator's help, and He delivers you. He gets you out of these forces, from under these forces, and gives you new forces, which are called Arvut, Covenant, Reforming Light, Torah. Yeah?
No one is cruel in the kings.
Yeah.
Okay. Letter 1 from Baha Salam. Because now they know that there is no cruel person in the king's state, and all the cruel people are just jokesters. Because that minister with great tactics was able to arrange himself, present himself as an evildoer. But little by little, the slave got this wisdom from the knowledge of the end, and love from the knowledge in the beginning. And the truth is that it's a beautiful sight that all the wars in that exile and everything know in their internality that everything is this joking and joy that bring only good. And in any case, there's no tactic to ease the burden of the war and the threat.
So is it clear?
I have to resist evil inclination or observe how it's working?
Both.
Because it appears lost from in advance.
No, no such thing. The Creator has to help. I don't know how to put it. Many times we have to try and win, and every time you lose, and at first you lose and you're happy about losing, because again, you go to bed and you go to sleep. Michael can tell you that sometimes this is how it is, and other things too, until it accumulates. It's an accumulative process, and until it reaches, and they cry, truly cry, that I want to get out of it totally, that even that the bed's warm and it's more comfortable and it's pleasant, despite everything, I accumulate a force against that I want to work above it.
And you see the temptation is stronger and it's about to win.
No, no. The temptation is strong, but I want to be stronger. I want to, I differentiate in this temptation that it's the Creator doing it on both sides. It's not that I'm doing it. I'm in between, like little Moshe. And he's playing with me in this direction, in that direction, on and off. And then the accumulation is such that at any price, I want to belong to the force of bestowal. To disconnect from the pleasantness, which is no longer pleasant, and bit, by the penetration of the sparks into the will to receive, then he's willing to let me go. He's willing, even as if understands me and accompanies me on my way out and shuts the door behind me so I won't come back. There are such actions that he does that at first it doesn't seem to us that it's possible that our ego will do something like that.
So I have to observe what's happening to me and my resistance. Everything's happening to me.
Yeah.
What do I have to do here? I have to resist something of my own or only observe?
You should start with all the pleasant things in life, in your life, that they disconnect you from the spiritual work, from the group, that all these things, you want to finish with them. That's it. You don't want to do them anymore. And then you'll feel that you can't. But here, it's the Creator playing with you. I don't have the words for it, but it's experience. Wait. Give it to Gershon.
How can we help one another develop hate towards the rule of Pharaoh, who know it's bad? Rob, it's not even hatred.
It has to be felt as if it's...
Yeah, it's not hatred. You feel it as this inner force that is working in me, an upper force, both the good and the bad, and I don't relate to it like hatred. It's a certain understanding that this is it. This is nature. The Creator relates to me in two forces, and I have a place of choice. And there's this point that I'm in, this in-between, and each time I have to do this transition from minus to plus, minus to plus, minus to plus, to perform such to preferences, to prefer to be under the force of the Creator, that He would help me, and again I fall, and again the help of the Creator, and then I fall. But also when I fall, I don't fall, I understand gradually, it's not all at once. I understand that these are new discernments that awaken in me. If yesterday I wasn't able to do something, and I overcame, not, and today it's seemingly the same, it's not the same. I can even discern in me that it's not the same. It's not the same feelings, not the same tastes, not the same flavors, not the same overcomings. It's all new. Although, in externality, it seems like it's the same lesson I have to get up to and I didn't. That same warm bed and raining outside. Yeah.
But some kind of attitude what is the recognition of evil? I have to understand that it prevents me from achieving spirituality. I have to feel bad that I feel all the time. It doesn't feel like, okay, I'm developing.
That depends on the group, on the support of the group. I'm telling you, it's not that bad.
I'll tell you why, because it's very intimate, private work of each and every person.
So what? For you, it's in one thing. With him, it's another thing. With the third one, it's with the third thing. As if there's difference between food, sex, family, money, honor, power, knowledge. It's only towards us, towards our beastly existence, as if there's a difference. More pleasant, less pleasant. More respectable, less respectable. But no, and towards the Creator, it's meaningless.
This is also clear. What I feel, at least, is that what I'm lacking, what I'm missing, is the importance of the goal. This is what I always want. I'm missing.
at this moment it will always be lacking, the moment of choice. Either, you know, let's say I'm in the warm bed and I have to get up. First time we get rain. I remember those years that I would drive from Ochovot. The winter was something that, you know, every day it was rain and winds and cold. It was almost freezing, almost snowing. Maybe one of the elders here remembers. Today, yeah, there's no winter. I remember it was very difficult.
So how did you cope with it? Suppose with the example you just gave, you're saying that you always lack the importance of the goal. What I'm trying to scrutinize is that we're probably supposed to do something together.
You ask how I do it? I have a preferential treatment. No, there isn't. That's what you'd never get from above. How? I don't know how to tell you. I suffered for many years before that from lack of purpose. I think that was it. When I arrived at Rabash and I understood that here you can grasp, you can understand, you can discover everything. Not this reality and how the earth and the moon are revolving around another. Not man's corporeal life, to see the psychology, how these animals behave to one another. No. You can, that it speaks of the entire system, everything above the level of this world. To me, it gave me such a push forward. Now, for many years, I think I advanced based on that. But before that, I paid for it dearly with my suffering in the search. So each person, it's different. Depends on the soul. But ultimately, there is no preferential treatment to anyone. Okay, guys, we have 20 minutes.
Joseph from Jerusalem is asking, what is there about the suffering that they comprise such a special part in the spiritual attainment?
Those are not torments. Those are signs that show us where we are, where we need to put in exertion to rise to the level of above reason. Those are not torments. Those are signs. Okay, continue, please.
You see that each wickedness becomes a condition, and the lamb shall live with the sheep and so on, for the land was filled with the name of the Lord and the prophet. He said that this depends on the opinion of the Creator, as it says, that the harsh resistance, egoistic resistance between man and his friend, together with which our national relations become clear, all these will not pass from the world by any advice or human ideas, no matter what happens. For our eyes can see how the poor sick person is turning over in dreadful, intolerable pains, and humanity has already thrown itself to the extreme right, as with Germany, or to the extreme left, as with Russia. But not only that they did not ease the situation for themselves, but they have worsened the melody and agony, and the voice rise up to heaven.
Meaning, throughout this normal egoistic development of this world, it could be the common market or not common, doesn't matter. Everything people do, none of it will help us. There's no other counsel, but
Thus, they have no other choice but to come to accept his burden and knowledge of the Creator, meaning to aim their actions to the will of the Creator and to his purpose, as he had planned for them prior to creation. When they do this, it is plain to see that with serving him, all envy and hatred will be abolished from humanity, as I have shown above. Since then, all members of humanity will unite into one body and one heart, full of the knowledge of the Lord. Thus, world peace and the knowledge of the Creator are one and the same.
Can it be any otherwise? To the extent we discover the opinion of the Creator, meaning the measure of love and bestowal between us, to that extent we rid ourselves of hate and pain. There's nothing in the middle they can do without this and the other. It's either this or the other. Clear? Either light or darkness. It can't be that you want to get rid of the of darkness, but you don't never make it into the light. No.
Immediately following, the prophet says, and it will come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people and gather together the depressed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Thus we learn that world peace comes before the gathering of the diaspora. Now you can understand the words of our sages at the end of Masechet Okatzin. The Creator did not find a vessel to hold the blessing for Israel, but peace. As it says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Seemingly, one should wonder at the allegory, a vessel to hold the blessing for Israel. And also, how does one conclude that from these words? But these words become clear to them, like the prophecy of Isaiah, that the world peace precedes the gathering of the diaspora. This is why the verse says, the Lord will give strength to his people, meaning that in the future, when the Creator gives his people strength, meaning eternal resurrection, the Lord will bless his people with peace. This means that he will first bless his people, Israel, with peace in the world, in the whole world. And subsequently, he will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. Our sages said about that reason for the words, therefore the blessing of peace in the whole world precedes the strength, meaning the redemption, because God did not find a vessel to hold the blessing for Israel but peace. Thus, as long as self-love and egoism exist among the nations, Israel too will not be able to serve the Creator in purity and bestowal upon others, as it is written in the explanation of the words, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests, in the essay Darvut. We see this from experience, for the coming to the land and the building of the temple could not persist and receive the blessings that the Creator has sworn to our fathers. This is why we said God did not find a vessel to hold the blessing, meaning that thus far Israel did not have a vessel to hold the blessing of the Father. Therefore, the oath that we can inherit the land of eternity has not been fulfilled, since world peace is the only vessel that enables us to receive the blessing of the fathers, as in the prophecy of Isaiah.
But if we won't come to the peace in the world, we won't be able to establish ourselves in the land of Israel, in the state of Israel, in the land of Israel. That's how I understand it. Otherwise, why do we exist?
So what follows is that Kabbalists, they offer a kind of ideology here, which all in all is based on the laws of nature, and they say, let's unite and live in a very specific way and reach a better place.
Okay.
There were other groups. I mean, what differentiates the wisdom of Kabbalah from, as he says, Russia or Germany, that they had an idea, it didn't work. What turns it into a different kind of ideology that's related to the Creator?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
He gives some advice here.
It says like that. What is it, right? To talk about the Creator or the laws of nature? It's one and the same. He says to talk about the Creator or the general law of nature is one and the same. That to speak about the keeping of the mitzvot or to keep the laws of nature is the same. What else does he say? Just say that everyone will hear. You have a microphone?
Finally, we all agree that it is upon us to keep this, to keep the rules of nature, and we know that anyone who breaches the laws of nature or of providence will be punished by nature, and no one should have any mercy upon him. And this is clear to everyone. In their opinion, the motive is necessary, and in my opinion, it's goal-oriented. And in order not to use these...
It doesn't matter. Meaning, they think that you need to keep it, and that's it. I say, no, we have to keep it because it brings us to the goal, a new state, a new world. This is something completely different. They think... We'll keep it and we'll get a reward. It's like you come to the bank, stand in line. You come, I deserve this and that. You receive a check or something. No. This is only a means to reach a new world. You will see your world in your life, but there's no difference. So what's your question? About some philosophy. It's not a philosophy. But they think Russia, Germany, all those philosophers and all those world leaders, each one of them had a something in his head. Where did it come from? From his head. The bugs in his head. And here, we're basing our ideas on the laws of nature. So he says, let's keep them. Not for the sake of anyone. Not Napoleon, Stalin, Hitler, anyone. Let's keep them, because by that we rise above our ego, because we see how it corrupts our life, and let's come to a place where we'll live above it. You can say, yeah, it's a theory, it's an ideology, but they explain to you, for the time being, they don't have anything with which to show you anything, because it's a matter of forces. But if we'll keep it, we will reach higher, more exalted states. You don't want to? Yeah, what can you do? There's a matter of blows. By then, we can advance. I think if 20, 30 years, you weren't able to speak to someone about the wisdom of Kabbalah, not the wisdom of Kabbalah, this word, you know, something changed about people's attitude. But today, it's different. People are starting to understand that they have no methodology, they have nothing. How will we advance? Why should we build the world? Why get married? Why have children? Why? What for? Wow, all those things, if the world is such. Wait, whatever we discussed, it's gradually appearing, it's gradually coming to be, I promise to you, in a few years you'll see what will happen. You see what's going on in France, the riots. Nothing to do, there's unemployment. Sir, there's no solution for humanity. You say there are many theories, there aren't. Nothing you can do. 80% of the workers will be outside. Everything will shut down. You won't know how to organize a country with 80% unemployment. You can't. You need a different method for managing the people. So we are done. Yeah? Good. I'm asking. Start discovering that you're in Egypt, you're under the control of Pharaoh, and you need to fight him. Otherwise, you will stay like that in the 7 years of satiation. And we need to be in the 7 years of famine, according to the calculation.
ביחס שלי אני המכריע, במקום לקבל רוצה להשפיע, תיקון אמיתי יגיע אלינו, בגלל שאני אחיה עבורנו, אז תן לנו כוח לצאת ממצרים, בלב ובמוח לפנות לשמיים, לקנות השפעה לפגוע עיניים.